This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Meg Ryan, Richard Gere, Michelle.
I turn him and I just go, Billy,
Rupert Grint,
Crystal. If you love the friggin' Tesla so much, you drive the damn thing.
Yeah.
And I threw the keys, they hit him in the chest.
Here comes Hayes and Sean.
Did he do it?
No.
Hey, what up, what up? Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook.
What up, y'all? What up, y'all? Y'all feel me? Y'all feel me today?
I'm Hayes Davenport. This is Sean Clements. This is an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz. This is our second episode.
It's our second episode. I know what you're thinking. Are they going to talk about it? Are they going to not talk about it? Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
We took a little bit of a drubbing in media circles from our first episode, which honestly we expected a little bit of because...
We did know that people are going to take their pot shots.
When you swim against the stream, you're going to get wet, is what people say. So.
Yeah, that's right. We have always done things our own way. Mm-hmm. We've always carved our own path.
Yeah.
And so that a lot of times will result in having to take some licks, having to get bruised up. First one through the wall always gets bloody.
So we took all this criticism, and we do want to respond to it. We're not the writer-performers.
Normally, I don't like to feed the trolls.
Right.
I am... Certainly, I'm motivated by my haters, and they do inspire me. They drive me.
Yeah, I think it was Drake, one of my favorite rappers, who said, "Haters going on parade while I be chugging lemonade."
I think that was Drake. Yeah,
and so I think that's
so glug glug
that's what
glug
it sums up what we're doing. We're sitting here glug, chugging glug, lemonade glug, while haters going on parade.
I'm quenching my thirst with delicious lemonade, and the haters are having their parade, and we're just gonna let them go by, but we're gonna say to them while they walk by,
yes,
we heard what you said,
right,
and it wasn't fair. People, if anyone lives under a rock, the people who misunderstood us felt like this podcast was some big friggin' celebrity circle jerk where we bring on our famous buddies, we help them launch their project, and everyone gets a piece, right? We share in the profits with them for whatever they want to plug, and we don't say anything negative. Now me, I'm a positive guy.
Sure.
I'm so used to living in that positive mental space,
yes,
where I tend to focus on what works
right
in this town, which is the best town in the world to live and work in,
right?
And they feel like we're not willing to ever get our hands dirty. We're not willing to rake any muck.
Right.
Now, that's not true. Before we open up the burn journal.
Yes. The first thing I think we'd like to say to respond is, we don't have to be doing this.
Not at all.
Give us a reason to stop and we'll stop.
You don't think
honestly,
I walk away from this?
Just the slightest push. You know what I mean? We do this as a favor.
Babe.
Okay.
Let me tell you, there are a lot more lucrative things I could be doing with my time. And not to say I'm not making a buttload of cash making this podcast, because let's be honest, I earned that.
Mm-hmm.
But I could walk away tomorrow and be right now shooting a movie while writing my book, while selling my Hayes new popsicle line that I came out with.
Yep.
Warm popsicles.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's done it. Except me.
Anyway, what we're saying
Forget
is
that.
Give us a reason.
Give us a reason to walk away.
And we're out.
We'd love to. You want to keep coming at us? You'll see just how fast we disappear. And,
yeah.
And you don't know what you got till it's gone. And Adam Derwitz said that.
Anyway, let's give them what they want us to. It's not like we don't have some people in this industry that we don't like. And it's also not like we're scared to talk about them.
Unfortunately, that's true. And I'm going to open up the Celebrity Burn Journal right yep. now. Creak!
Blow on it. Yep. Okay.
Okay. It landed on just a random page. Well, this feels like an easy one in a way because everybody thinks these guys' movies is trash.
Mm-hmm.
But
they make money, and that's why they're still working.
Well, that's why they've still been able to keep
if you're making
hanging
money,
around.
Barnacles, it's all honey.
Barnacles on the side of showbiz. Mm-hmm. And you guys, I guess, have guessed who I'm talking about. It's the Coen brothers.
Well, let's clarify that because
Ethan
is actually
nice.
A very nice guy.
I like Ethan, and I've had really long talks with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a total sweetheart.
Yes.
And what it really made me realize is Joel is the one calling the shots.
Joel controls everything. Ethan is terrified of Joel.
And well, you can see if he hears Joel's voice like over his shoulder, just he shudders all of a sudden.
Right. We were having a conversation at the premiere for Premium Rush where he was saying, hey, you know, like maybe we should, he started to whisper. He was like, maybe we should get breakfast sometime. I was like, why are you whispering, man? Like, you want to get breakfast or something? He's like, shut up. And then Joel hears like somebody talking about breakfast. I love breakfast. Let's all have breakfast.
So all of a sudden we're roped into a 2.5 hour monologue over cold eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Joel made us cold eggs.
Hosted by Joel. He insists they're better that way,
mm-hmm.
and it's just one of his things. And he just kept going, they're better this way, right, Ethan? And
yeah.
Ethan would have to go, yum.
Yeah.
But you know he didn't like him as much. And
yeah.
I don't want to accuse Joel of hitting Ethan,
mm-hmm.
but he does.
He does hit him. We've seen him do it.
And here's what makes it such a great lesson, and I wish this wasn't true, but Ethan's such a pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, to really make a mark in this town,
sure.
sometimes you have to be a little bit of a B word.
Right.
And Hayes has had to do it.
Sure.
And I've had
and
to
I
be a B word.
Doing it.
I hate doing it.
It
makes me sick to
my
stomach.
That's not why I got into this.
When I have to pull out a PA and fire him in front of everyone and embarrass him and pull his pants down and give
mm-hmm.
him a spanking, you know, verbally.
Yeah.
In front of, you know, the whole cast and all of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not why
I got into this business, but it is why I'm going to get out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah, it's why I
Which,
am...
say the word, AB Club, you know?
Yeah.
Back to you.
One more comment. One more. That's all it's going to take.
Try us. We should talk about TV a little bit. Some people were saying last week that we didn't talk about TV enough.
Yeah.
Maybe it felt like it was too close, you know. It's so obvious to us. It's so close to us that we don't.
Yeah. TV is... It's an interesting animal in the way that people discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that's been curious to me is a lot of people are asking, hey, which pilots should I watch?
Yeah.
Which of all these new shows is the good one
mm-hmm.
that I should watch?
Sure.
And it's so funny to me that when you're not inside, you don't just already know, like,
right.
well, maybe the ones that made it to television are the good
right.
ones.
Yeah. If something gets on, this is what people don't understand. If something gets on TV, it's been vetted at all these different levels. It was written by a talented writer. It goes through the studio, a bunch of executives there who are paid for their good judgment have to sign off on it. From there, it goes to the television network. That's another layer of talented people who can recognize a good show. So the shows are all good.
They're good if they're on.
But we could sort of talk about what some of the best ones are.
Okay.
This is a segment we like to do sometimes called Survival of the Funniest, which is of all the funny shows on TV... which ones are the funniest of the funny? Because TV, it's just like we sometimes say, TV's just small movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's start with The Crazy Guys.
The Crazy Guys.
Starring Robert Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar. I have a clip, actually, from the trailer.
Oh, wonderful.
You ready to get serious?
This is gonna get serious.
Oh! That could have been somebody.
Yes.
I got him on the ropes. Does he not look gas? Come on, bring it, Gumby.
Oh, you got
got knocked out by a girl.
Now, what did you think of this show, Sean?
Well, I laughed my whole butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, let's think about it more and go further in. Because I also found a decent amount of heart.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's not just the funniness that gets it on, because there might have been another funny show with Robert Williams that didn't get made. But it didn't have as much heart. Mm-hmm. Now, in that clip, I believe he's boxing with a robot.
Yep.
So right there, it's both things.
Yes. It escalates to that, because for the first few minutes, he's just being the crazy guy, like in the title. Like he gives the people what they want. He's making you laugh your whole butt off. But then there was that scene in the middle of the second act where he fucked that jar of pennies that really made you circle back and say, like, oh, this is like a human being. This is like,
yeah, this is that, a guy who has challenges.
There's that, like, relatability. It's like how you and your friends interact, and like you think of some of the conversations you've had with your dad in the past. And as he was fucking that jar of pennies, I thought, like, he's sort of right. Like, I really knew this character better than when he's just like doing his funny stuff. Also, it's about an old guy who's trying to be like, he's trying to keep doing his job, but he's being pushed out so younger people can take his place.
Mm-hmm. Which happens.
It's very sad when that happens.
Even in this industry, sometimes they factor in your age in making a decision about whether you're right
for a job.
Which
is sad, because the truth is you should be able to keep doing your job for as long as you want, forever.
Once you've gotten a job, now that's your job.
Yes.
And so it's like, whether your performance has fallen off, or whether you're less competent, or whether the nature of the job has, you know, sort of left you behind, you should be allowed to keep doing it.
And the young people should get a different job.
Yeah, or make one up.
It was sort of like that movie, Trouble with the Curb, where Clint Eastwood was a baseball scout and he was going blind.
Yeah. And
other people were saying, like, you shouldn't do that job anymore. You can't see. You can't be a baseball scout. But he already
was a baseball scout.
Yeah, he already was a baseball scout, and he proved that.
Yeah, so that same sort of message, but again, TV is small movies.
Yeah.
This is a little shorter, bite size, easier to digest, and I loved it, and stick around for the penny jar fucking scene and all the rest of it.
Let's talk about the Michael J. Fox show.
Yes, please.
I know you had a personal relationship to that you wanted to get out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing is, this show is at last...
Mm-hmm.
Brave. Yes, it's
brave
very show. Brave, and it's showing us Parkinson's, which is a real...
It's an actual disease.
It's an actual disease.
Yep, look it up.
And it's showing us Parkinson's for what it really is, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Pretty funny. And I was saying, yes, I had a personal connection because, in real life, my grandfather had Parkinson's and came to live with us for the last few years of his life. And I would always get home from school first, and I would sort of look after him. And he was really deteriorating and sort of also had Alzheimer's, and he'd be drawing these schematics. He had been an engineer, and he would be drawing these schematics with protractors and rulers for just nothing.
Right.
I mean, you look at these things. He like would ask for graph paper. You look at these things. They don't make any sense. You can't build jack squat out of them. And I was like, this guy's a cut-up. And I thought, oh, good, a funny show about Parkinson's. This will be good. And the criticism that I've seen levied against it is that perhaps every joke is something Michael J. Fox has said to put people at ease.
Yeah.
That's gotten a polite chuckle.
Sure.
And he thought that made it joke.
Because he's getting laughs basically with everything he says.
Well, because like he's on a bumpy car ride.
Yeah.
He goes like, yeah, feels normal to me.
Right.
And I bet there's a point where like somebody complained about airplane turbulence or something.
Sure.
And he went like, I can't really tell the difference. And people went, oh.
Right.
And
he's getting a lot more laughs now than he ever did when he was like a mainstream actor.
That's right.
And so now he thinks, oh, maybe it's time to make the transition into comedy, because I'm getting funnier and funnier as my condition worsens. Let's talk about the Goldbergs. This was a show about the wrestler Goldberg as a kid when he was growing up in the 80s. Which that was very funny. It was also very real and familiar. I thought it was.
Well, and you see the seeds of how Goldberg will be born.
Yes.
Like, you see where he's going to come from because there's one scene where he, you know, is going to school and he's having trouble with his backpack. And then he just body slams his backpack into the ground, mm-hmm. does a pile driver and sort of flexes and you go like, oh, they're hinting that he will become Goldberg the wrestler.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting choice to end the episode where Goldberg kills everyone. It's interesting to see where they're going to go from there. Like, he gets really mad and he kills everyone.
Yeah, I thought that was a neat sort of twist, and I wonder what's next.
Stupid Fun Night.
Stupid Fun Night, yes.
Rebel Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction to that show?
Well, I thought it was bold. I thought it was brave.
Yeah.
And I thought that casting Rebel was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But when they also decided to make her best friend a talking dinosaur,
mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, now I'm listening. You've got my attention.
Right.
And he wound up having some of the best lines.
Mm-hmm. Good. Same thing. It's brave to see a dinosaur on TV.
Well, because people want to...
That's real life.
Yeah, people want to act like they're never coming back. Mm-hmm. And you can do that all you want. You know, you can turn a blind
eye. Plug your ears and shut your eyes and say, la, 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 you know, like...
But if you want to crack a book once in a while, you're going to see that history is cyclical. And so if they were here before, and I think you'll agree they were, they're coming back.
Mm-hmm. Trophy Wife was too scary.
Trophy Wife too scary for me.
So those are the funniest shows. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little about the something called the VOD Revolution. We will explain what that is in the next segment. And we also have a guest. Blake Anderson from Workaholics is going to talk with us about his acting and what's next for him and the process that goes into his show. So we're going to be right back on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So I just turn on and I go, Troy, Aikman, karaoke's supposed to be fun, buddy.
It's all, everything is the Super Bowl with him. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what I said.
Right.
He was embarrassed. Hollywood
Handbook. What up, what up?
What up, yo?
Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook. This is a segment where we like to look at sort of what's next. It's not all about what's now on this show. Sometimes we like to look at big changes coming in the industry, like the technology is always evolving, things are changing.
Yeah, the industry is evolving.
You got to be ahead of it. And we like to stay up in these things and read the blogs and stuff, and we've been reading about something that we think is pretty interesting called Video On Demand, VOD for short. So this is a segment we like to do called OMG It's VOD. Where we sort of will explain to you kind of what it is.
We'll explain what it is, how it works.
Yeah.
I think traditionally everyone thinks of, oh, if I'm going to see a movie, that mm-hmm. means I buy a ticket, I go to the theater, I sit down in the seat.
Mm-hmm. Watch teasers.
I watch the teasers, you know, and then hopefully I stay and I watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're starting to have a technology in place where you can watch the movie in your house through your TV.
Yeah. You have a TV and you're used to just watching TV on it.
TVs for TV, movie theaters for movies.
But imagine picking up your remote, hitting the movie button.
Imagine, and we're not talking about getting thousands of dollars worth of projection equipment like Hayes and I have in our homes
sure.
to watch movies just when we're screening our latest.
Previously, when you've watched movies in a home, it's been like you've had to go over to your rich neighbor's house
mm-hmm.
and had him rub it in your face as he
spools the film onto the projector and you hear the clicking and clacking of the sort of film moving. And this is none of that. This is literally through your television.
Yes. And it's also not, this is what I thought at first, it's not a bunch of TV shows put together. It's like a whole movie, like you'd see in a movie theater. It's not three or four TV shows strung together.
And I'd like to say, why are we talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening yet. Well, no, not today and not tomorrow.
Right.
But in 15, 20 years, I think you're going to find that a lot of homes are going to be using VOD once or twice a year.
And it'll change movies, too. Movies now are for the big movie houses. But like in the future, they're going to have to be designed to be watched in somebody's house. So they'll have to change. They can't put a big Transformer or whatever on a—
they can't put a robot that size
on a little
because
screen
he won't
like
fit
that
on that TV.
Yeah, it's going to have to be more shows about small guys.
Yeah, it's going to be more shows about gnomes and—
bugs.
Yeah, and there'll be more bug movies, which was a hot thing for a little while and I think died out because they didn't play on movie screens. You kind of couldn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think we're going to see more of those.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about some of the movies.
We actually have gotten advanced copies of some of these VOD projects and we've gotten these special smart TVs that are in beta testing. And this is some of the stuff that we've been enjoying on there that you can look forward to when you get your VOD in the future.
There's a movie that I really enjoyed last night called Good Neighbors, spelled with B-O-U-R-S because it was made in Canada. And it's a horror movie starring Jay Baruchel. And here's a little clip that I pulled from it last night.
I'm so sorry. It's pitch black outside. You're coming home by yourself, and I just leap out.
I saw him walking outside that night.
Very scary movie from the king of screams, Jay Baruchel.
That sounds too scary to me. But what I do like about it is to see him really stretch. And in even in that clip, you can hear, I was like, is that really Jay?
Yeah.
Because I'm used to seeing him be sort of
nebbishy.
Yes, nebbishy and apologetic.
Kind of like
and
a shrinking violet, milk toast type.
Yeah, and in this, he's kind of a badass.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend it because too scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're a crazy person and you like that kind of stuff, when is Hollywood going to learn we don't want to be scared?
That's so crazy to me.
They just keep losing money giving these pervert freak directors cash to make these movies.
Yeah.
They're designed not to entertain, but to scare.
What are some of the other movies on,
well,
on
there's
the,
a movie,
on the VOD system?
The movie that jumped out to me as, ooh, I got to check this out, was, and I'm going to actually sing the title of this because I think it's a very clever title, and it's Born in the USB.
Oh.
Born in the USB. Born in the USB, starring Chow Yun-fat and Nancy Kerrigan as two, unlikely lovers who get shrunk down and stuck inside a computer. So they get shoved in through the USB port into a computer, and they have to get along. They're bickering at the beginning and navigate because he's kind of a prissy, you know, Chow Yun-fat's sort of a prissy, aristocratic, rich, spoiled brat. And then Nancy Kerrigan's playing kind of a hippie, kind of like a wild hippie who's like, hey, man, just go with the flow, man. And he's like, I can't go with the flow. The GD microchip is stuck in the logic board, just almost took my noggin off. And it's fun and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is sort of, you get very invested in their romance, and you wind up really rooting for them to get out of the computer and wanting them to be together. And they ultimately don't, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it and are going to watch it, they don't get out of the computer, but they do have a baby. And then you realize that's where the title actually comes from, because that baby is born in the USB.
Mm-hmm. The B's for baby.
Well, it's a USB port.
Like a United States baby.
I guess it's both.
I saw something I thought was a really nice movie. It's called Three Pointers. David Alan Greer he's the star point guard of the San Diego Sandmen, the basketball team.
Hmm.
And he's a stud on the court, but he's sort of a dud in the dating game. Until he is dispatched to the moon Pandora on a unique mission. And he starts to feel sort of torn between like following his orders and protecting this new world that he sort of is starting to feel like is his home. And I don't want to give too much of it away, but Danica Patrick plays the big alien. And to see somebody like David Alan Greer, who I have actually heard from somebody who made it, did not know that he was in this movie, go through this experience of going to this new land and like seeing it all for the first time and really genuinely thinking it's real, like, it got me, honestly. I cried a lot.
Oh, yeah. You were bussing up a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did bus up in a sad way.
In a sad way, yeah.
So that's OMG, it's VOD.
OMG, it's VOD. Look forward to that in the future.
Yeah. We're going to be right back. We have a great guest. Blake Henderson from Workaholics is here. He's going to be taking your questions. He's going to talk about how he likes to relax, sort of get out of the hustle and bustle of Hollywood. It's a really nice conversation, I think. I'm really happy with it. And I actually found myself taking more away from it than I thought I would. So that's coming up very soon on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
Meg Ryan, Richard Gere. You know, Bobby McFerrin, he did a good job on this
well,
song.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got a gift for sound.
We didn't even ask him. Just like
we asked him not to do it. Comes Hayes and Sean. What up, what up?
What up, what up? Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook. We're here with our guest, Blake Henderson.
How are you?
From Workaholics.
Of course, hey.
And other titles.
And we don't gotta go into the whole list.
The list goes on and on and on, doesn't it, boys?
And, you know, this is an exciting guest for us to have because, Sean, you have a relationship with Blake.
Yeah, I got a personal connection to this one. I mean, I have a personal connection to basically everybody in this friggin' town.
Right. It goes beyond friendship.
Like a big city, feels like a small town.
It is a small town.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
My goodness.
People talk.
And, Blake, I actually probably see more than most. Mm-hmm. I see him more than my friggin'
more
family.
Than your own mom. Yeah,
more
right?
Than my, more exactly. Than my mommy.
Yeah, he's my guy over here.
Mm-hmm.
My guy.
But we, work for Workaholics.
We sure do.
That's kind of my DJ right now, my day job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than that, you know.
Oh, it's like a family almost.
It does feel like a family, and everyone has their sort of family role.
Yeah, that's something I've always wondered about. Speaking as like an outsider to the writers' room, that you know, I come in to do like ADR and stuff, but like from a writing perspective, I always wonder because each writers' room has. Like their roles separated
sure
out. So, like for you guys, what does each writer do on the show?
Well, you know, Sean and myself, we kind of are the room daddies.
Okay.
We call it. Yeah, we're fathers of the room for sure. You know, it's just a commanding role.
Yeah.
I think people look towards us for the answers almost.
Not always fun, I'm sure.
Well, you know, being a dad comes with its perks and its setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be able to take the belt off and spank your babies every once in a while. And
yeah,
you know,
that's a fact. Yeah, I mean, you know, you get first choice on the lunch menu because
sure.
You're the daddy. But mm-hmm. at the same time, when back's against the wall and production needs the script yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Who do you think has to take their belt off and spank their babies?
That's
sure.
Right. That's right. And, you know, the other thing that can be tough is as much as you get in a little bit over your head, you don't ever want to be able to, you can't cry.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, other writers in the room are shedding tears, you kind of got to be the strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've seen every other writer in the room cry maybe once a week.
Yeah, at least.
Wow.
And that's just the tension of making a hit TV show.
It ain't easy.
What about story stuff? I'm sorry, fanboy.
Yeah, I get this all the time. Go ahead.
It is a story-driven show, I think, and stuff like when like Durs gets stuck in the tub and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like who comes up with that stuff?
You know, the good ones, probably Sean and myself.
Okay.
The bad ones, that's more of the other guys.
Yeah.
Not to name names, but, you know, Adam and Durs.
Adam and Durs, sure.
Yeah, they come up with some pretty dumb stuff, whereas...
And Dom Dierkes is on the show, too, right?
He is, right?
Yeah, he technically does still work there, and he has an interesting role that he's carved out for himself. Primarily, he, I guess... knows Donald Glover?
Right.
Yes, actually. That's kind of why we've been... I mean, he's been on the show for how long? I think we've kept him around about 2 or 3 seasons. I don't know. We tried to cut him loose one of them, but I guess he comes with Sean. They're like a package. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he has an in with Donald Glover.
The rapper.
The rapper, yeah.
Yeah.
Child Gambino. He's something else. But yeah, we're just kind of trying to... You know,
he says he can get Donald on the show,
right.
And he said, oh, I'll talk to him, we'll do a guest star. And normally, I think twice now, you guys have walked into a room to fire Dom.
Yes.
And he will go, oh, Donald just left.
Right.
Hang on, I'm going to go get him. I didn't realize you guys were coming in. And it sort of buys him another week.
Yeah, and he has these voice recordings and things of Donald, like, saying he's on his way and all that, and they sound real.
Yeah, they sound potentially like they've been spliced together from just a series of Community episodes where he's just gotten the words and assembled them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's enough to keep him going, and... The kid brings bagels.
He does. That he does.
Somebody's got to bring the bagels. How are you going to, you know, how are you going to do the show?
Without bagels? I don't know. I wouldn't suggest it.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of roles, and I actually have a question. When you were interviewing writers for the show, how many joke beasts did you meet versus how many story hounds?
Well, see, that's the thing is – we kind of got the show because we're just Adam, Durs, and myself. We're a pack of joke beasts. It's like, you know, you see us
coming. I'll vouch for that.
Yeah. You see us coming a mile away. We're a rabid little pack. And if anything, we can just, those are jokes, firing
jokes
back
popping,
and forth.
Yeah.
And I think Comedy Central saw that and they said, whoa. How do we string these together into a story? We need a story hound, of course, and that's where we kind of set out. And you know, we were given our showrunner Kevin Etten, and he's more of a story hound. And then you know, of course, we got our daddy Sean, and then Dom came with him, and you know, the rest is his story, not her story. We don't make show for chicks. Sorry.
But
it's Mimby's job.
We do really Thank understand you. Them. Yes, that's for Mimby. Mimby makes the chick show.
She sure
and
does.
Then you flip back over, and you can watch Workaholics. And if you're a guy,
you're gonna get some giggles.
As long as you're watching Durs, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's on both shows.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
he used to be.
Wow.
I always sort of wonder about, you know, you got a show on TV. It's a lot of work. You have to work on it every day.
Sucks, I know.
When you get that chance to have some time off, do you like to get out of the city? Do you like to?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have. We all, you know, have our destination spots. I'm a huge fan of a small island right off the coast of Long Beach, Catalina, and boy, is it a getaway! You know, during my time, I spent some time at CSULB. I didn't graduate, but I did take walks from the campus, and I would just kind of look look out on the horizon, and there it was, Catalina. And I said, someday I'm going to make it in this city, and I'm going to escape this hustle and bustle, and I'm going to get out there. And boy, if I haven't been there once, and wow.
Wow.
It is just extreme relaxation.
And you were saying you love the food there.
The food is great. The fish, the chips, wow. Wow, 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 wow. They have, Blue Bunny ice cream?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't been able to.
My goodness, it is something else.
Yeah.
It is delicious. But I'm telling you, it is quite an island, and it is not far away from Long Beach. A lot of us, we say it's just a cum shot away. Isn't it?
Oh, that's a fun expression.
Yeah, well,
and it paints a picture for you,
doesn't it,
of how close it is?
Yeah, not only is it close, but you know you're gonna have a good time out there.
Oh yeah,
and the boat ride's fun too. Yeah, quite the Bloody Mary.
Oh, you're doing the boat again? Because I know you were doing the chopper for a little while.
Yeah, you know, the chopper got to be a little. I felt pretentious, and you know, I like
to be down with the people.
And I like the boat ride. I like to take a little time to get over there because the boat ride is part of the unwinding experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when you're out on the waves, you go on the back of the bow, you look out there and you're like, wow, this I think is part of our ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it lets you prep because I think it's a culture shock to take the helicopter.
A little bit.
Where the second you step off, you go, okay, people are too relaxed around here. I'm not used to this.
Right. I'm jumping right out of the fucking zoo that is Long Beach and hopping right into, you know, a Jimmy Buffett song. And it can be a culture shock for sure.
What do you do about my issue sometimes? I like to go up to wine country when I get that time mm-hmm. off. But sure, I find sure. sometimes... Like, I've just gotten there, and I'm picking that first grape, sure. getting ready to settle into my vacation. And just as it's about to hit my lips, I hear that bzz, bzz,
uh-oh.
Bzz, bzz.
Uh-oh.
You know that sound.
Okay.
You know what that
All
is.
Right. It sounds like your agent.
That's a call saying, emergency, direct the Hobbit, like stuff like that.
Oh, uh-huh. Jesus.
It feels like as soon as I'm there, I'm on my way back. What do you do with your phone, I guess?
The phone stays home, okay?
Wow.
The laptop doesn't, okay?
Okay?
And that's where we have technology now where I can command my soldiers from a Skype situation.
Yeah. People are doing that more and more these days. I've heard about that.
Yeah, I heard that. Who's the gentleman? Wes Anderson directed that whole little Fox movie from a laptop. And I'm like, well, I think I could do that with Workaholics. And you just train your workers to respect the screen, you know?
Oh, okay.
And just you have carved out times. Once a day, you're going to go and hit it. And I do the same thing. You guys know when I have a chance to get away, I go to Altadena.
Of course. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, where just I can just shut it all off and just pretend that I'm not, you know, pretend that I'm not being relied upon.
Right.
You know, that hundreds of people's jobs isn't dependent upon me showing up and delivering every GD day.
Ain't that fun to pretend?
yeah. It's a nice little fantasy. Nowhere near the truth, but...
yeah.
Should we reach back into the popcorn gallery for...
We'd love to reach into the popcorn gallery.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I'm actually a big fan of this.
Okay. Yeah, this is our segment where we take questions from our listeners and we ask our guests.
And, you know, that's part of the reasons I love your guys' show is you are so open to, you know, reaching out to the fans and listening to them. It's very fresh. It's very new. It's cool.
Where are the fans, buddy? All right?
Yeah.
Save it to, you know, let us do that.
Absolutely.
So let's reach into the popcorn bag. Okay.
Ooh.
Another question. This is actually the same question from last week.
We didn't get a lot of questions from the popcorn gallery this week, and that's okay because we had such a good one last week that I think we might just use it from now on. And so this question comes again from Bird Rules, and he wants to know, Blake, how do you get into the funny zone?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a great question. You know, And I don't know if this is every comedian is not this way, But I know for me, I never leave it.
Mm.
Okay? The whole thing is I don't want to ever not be on my toes, okay? I'm always ready to be joking. I always was that. For my family growing up, I was the guy you look towards for a little relief, you know?
That's interesting to hear because I sometimes find, like, if I stay too long in the funny zone, I start to – things get start getting a little hairy. You know what I mean?
Hey, speaking of hair.
Blake has unusual hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Google image that. You're going to get a kick out of it if you're unaware of what I look like.
But yeah, so would you say that you suffer at all for being in the funny zone too long, or do you need to, are you sort of throwing yourself up against the walls of the funny zone sometimes trying to go, I need a break, you know, because
tapping a tin cup on the
somebody
bars.
At home, maybe they get to turn workaholics off after a half an hour, but for you, it keeps playing in your head all day.
Mm-hmm. It does, and I it does get tiresome. I find that I can't enjoy, you know, serious movies or, you know, books or anything like that. If I'm not giggling, you know, it's just, it's tough to be that guy all the time.
Right.
Mm. You know, and that's kind of why when I go to Catalina, you know, to bring it back to there, the people aren't, hey, let me hear a joke. They respect you out there, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody's there for the same reason, to drive around in golf courts. To drive around in golf carts.
Yeah.
I said courts.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, you were thinking of the tennis courts.
I wasn't. Just to drive around in golf carts, absorb the air, and just, you know, let's turn our funny buttons off,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Does it affect your relationships at all sometimes, being in the funny zone that much? You don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, by the way.
No, I'm an open book. And I'm willing to talk about anything. But yeah, initially I was losing a lot of relationships to the fact of, you know, it came down to this a lot of nights. Me saying, I'm joking. It's a joke. It's a joke, you idiot. And then them crying. And it's like, I'm joking at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Never take what I say seriously. Unless I say, like, you know, there's obvious things. If I'm telling you I love you, it's probably not a bit. Okay.
Unless it would be funny for you to love this particular person.
Right.
If it's funny, then yes. I don't actually love you. It's a joke love.
Then he's being funny. And
thank
it's so
you.
Easy to see the difference if you just have a brain in your head and then here's the second step. You got to use it.
Right. But if I'm there and you're dating me and I start making fun of your sloppy titties, it's a joke. It's to make us both laugh at each other.
Yeah, why don't you enjoy that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, your food tastes like shit. I'm joking. Sure, there's truth in all comedy. But
got to be a kernel of truth, yeah.
Why
sure.
would you be saying it tastes like shit if it were really good?
Right.
You know, that's what's funny about it.
But something about it made me think, well, this tastes like shit. But I'm just joking, right?
Yeah. And she knows it's not good food.
Right. And why'd you start dating me if you weren't ready to fucking laugh your ass off 24/7, baby? And to get your world rocked by my world famous hard on. And that's what I tell him. I say, that's usually my introduction line. Pardon the hard on. Come and get it. Right? You fellas know.
I have heard you say that.
Yeah, yeah. And usually if you hear it, you're getting it. I don't take no for an answer.
That's a great lesson for our listeners, that you shouldn't be willing to take no for an answer.
No.
Now, I had another...
How do you think I got what I got? I didn't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if the friggin' door was locked, you went in through the window.
Thank you.
And that's just that. And I had another question about... What sort of inspires you? Because I know you've talked a lot about in the room, sorry to bring this up, but sort of latter day Tim Allen.
Sure.
Projects.
Sure.
Being your ideal.
Yes. Yes. I think just following his career path is one of the wisest choices you can make. I mean, look at the guy. He started as a stand-up comedian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got your core fans. You're always mm-hmm. going to have that. And then, you know, he took the role of what he was a bad boy. And then you throw him in the role of a dad.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm already watching, you know? I'm already interested. How's this guy going to be a dad? Turns out, he's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Isn't he? And you start to love this guy. Next thing he gets, Santa Claus? What? Come on, you've gone from a bad boy to a dad to Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, now I'm really interested. How is the most lovable character in all of American society going to be basically this bad boy? And you're laughing all the way, you know? And you're laughing all the way. All the way to the bank, too. My goodness, the man is probably rich as all get out. And I've never met him, but I bet he'd like me.
I can hear the scoop troop. Like drooling over some hot scoops. So
we always like to have our guests plug the projects that are maybe not the mainstream projects. We all know Workaholics is going to come back. That's going to be in January, whatever.
It's Workaholics, by the way. But
okay. And what I think we really want to know is what else you got on your plate there.
Boy. Well, some things in development. I've been going out a lot to comedy shows. I'm not getting on stage, but I've had my eyes open, and I'm watching these shows. There's a lot of college theme ones. There's African American nights. But what I'm seeing is lacking in what I think I bring to the table is that X Games factor. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe. And I have the goofy hair, okay, for a reason. What about, and hear me out, Nardogs of Comedy Tour?
Okay, wow. I think I've heard you talking to your manager about this before. The original Nardogs of Comedy Tour.
Yes, yes, you've heard right.
I can see it working, but I think it would depend, obviously, on who you get.
Of course. And I've reached out to a few people. I mean, I definitely want to get Sean White in there.
Mm-hmm.
The X Gamer, he can do comedy if he wants. He can also just kind of tell stories of his experiences on the road.
Sure.
I tell him, as long as you have a story, you've got a routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be knock-knock jokes up there. Just, I'm sure your life is funny. Just talk about it.
Right. And he doesn't have to write his stuff, because if you sort of put him on a snowboard on wheels and you have him roll out and like be puffing a little reefer, then have somebody
safely
be like—
safely and not like the real stuff, like, you know, not actually doing
it. A candy cigarette, but have him going like, this is reefer.
Right.
Yeah. And then somebody comes in like snatches his gold medal off or whatever.
Sure.
And he goes, hey, whoops, wait a minute. It's like, that is enough.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even just that would be enough.
Yeah, that's pretty gnar. Also, I've reached out a couple of the Jackass dudes, of course, Natural Fit, Party Boy, Chris Pontius, I believe is how you pronounce his last name.
Yep.
I'm not sure how to spell it, but that's, I'm pretty sure how you say it.
Yeah.
Very funny. I'd love to get him.
I know Preston Lacey.
Oh, yeah.
I can talk to him.
He's the heavyweight gentleman?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
He's very funny. Very, very funny. I love to watch him run and wear underwear and stuff. That's always a good time. And, I've been talking to all sorts. Nick Swartzen. I would love to have him on there. The college kids just eat him up, don't they?
Pretty gnar.
Yeah, he's a gnar dude. I've spent time with him, and he's quite the gnar guy.
Does he ever go into Bucky Larson around you?
He doesn't. And I ask him, and I ask him, and I beg for it, but he does not.
Well, that's how you keep them paying for it, right?
Yeah.
Is the good stuff you got to pay to see.
Yeah, definitely. You've got to get... Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to just be doing anything for free in this town anymore. I remember when it wasn't like that, but it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's good. I think it's good for the...
It is better. It makes
good for the industry.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Put some value on it.
Sure.
Because otherwise everything's just fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Internet bullshit. Free internet bullshit. I'm done with it. Give me the paychecks. I worked hard for this. I was making YouTube videos for upwards of 2 years. and I'm cashing out.
And people got to put in that kind of work. Kids out there who've only been making YouTube videos for a month or two, be patient. It might take 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of a sudden everybody thinks they're Fred Friggle Rock or whatever, you know?
It must have been tough. You're watching all your other YouTube friends just get scooped up one by one while you're still working away on these things. You're thinking, is it ever going to happen for
me? Which brings us back to Dom and Donald. And we're like, excuse me, hello, there's mail order comedy over here. Mm-hmm. We appreciate what Derek's doing. But come on, we've got the Wizards. Fuck. What do we need? What else can we do?
And ultimately, you didn't have to do anything else.
We didn't. Luckily, you know, just got lucky, you know? Fuck. Didn't really do anything. To get what we got.
I always like to say, luck is just a four-letter word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure is, amongst other things.
It's a cliche for a reason.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Well, Blake, thanks so much for coming. Oh. We know you're busy, and we really appreciate you coming out.
You're running off to do an appearance right after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amoeba Music. I'm like doing a little DJ set, I think, or something. Probably, you know.
Well, figure it out when you get there, right?
I mean, that's kind of my thing. That's how I came into this.
Yeah, seat of your pants.
Yeah, you know, anything that I get wound up, you know where I go to chill out. Catalina, baby.
And thank you guys for listening. Rate us on
iTunes.
Thank you
for listening. Rate us on
the forums,
iTunes.
Subscribe to our pro version. What do we have? What are our pro version features this week?
Oh, if you subscribe to the pro version this week, you get a special set of Hayes and Sean boudoir pics. Just the two of us in various seductive poses and bearskin rugs, the whole nine.
Tasteful, but like...
Tasteful,
sometimes
but not
really
so tasteful
gross.
That you can't get off on it. And also, I believe that we will send you a free bottle of Teyava unsweetened iced tea if you subscribe to the pro version.
The bottle.
Yes, one bottle. We will have drank it.
Yeah.
And then you get the bottle.
Right.
So please do subscribe. It
and we'll
just
also
doesn't cost
have nervously kind of torn the label off while we...
Yeah, we'll be thumbing at it and sort of have the label off. So just trust us. It is Teyava, but it's going to basically just look like a bottle. And we wash it out, so you can't really smell the iced tea. But anyway, it just doesn't cost enough to listen to us. So please do subscribe to that. And bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf's dead.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.